You know, look at Toby. He's straight as an arrow. The rest of us.
Everybody around me is stone. Fucking drink it. I don't give a shit. I'm not closed-minded.
But then again, Toby's not straight as an arrow. Because when you look at Toby,
his fucking mind is warped.
He's covered with 10 fucking tubes.
You know, there's already chemicals in Toby's head that make Toby a fucking nut.
I remember all those bands preaching the motherfucking X's on the head. For you, the yesterday, what else can I say? It's time to change, but
what's up, fam? How's everybody doing? Have a good Labor Day 3-day weekend, did ya? Did you have a cookout? Did you get fucked up? Did you fuck? Did you kick a dog? That's my pleasure. All day long, foot in the dog's ass. I'm gonna try and keep the energy up this episode because the old Lukester's sick. I was just thinking the other night that I haven't been sick in a long time. It's been well over a year, and it's a pretty good run for me. And I swear, my whole life, I swear to you, every time I do that, I get sick, right? You guessed it. I did. This one hit me so fast. Like, I haven't had one hit me this quick. And I swear, I went to bed feeling completely fine Monday night and woke up Tuesday morning. And my fucking throat was killing me. It hasn't really, like, gone to the rest of my body yet. British Martin at work has it, too. It's just, like, kind of in my throat. I feel a little schmeggy today. But boy, do I got a big weekend coming up, so I cannot afford to be sick. So I'm going straight to the friggin' doctor right now and hoping that I can get medication. Because if I get it, sometimes it's viral and they'll give me amoxicillin or whatever, and it'll fucking straighten me out in like 12 hours, which is fantastic. So I sure need that because I got a big shoot coming up this weekend. So when I last left you, this is the roller coaster of events that has happened, which the roller coaster ended. Well, this particular roller coaster, there's other ones in the amusement park, of course. This whole shoot's one big amusement park. But the Kevin Pollak roller coaster ride ended this morning because shortly after I told you last week that I emailed him or whatever, he liked it and he said he'll do it. And we got him from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. sharp, not a minute later. And he said, if you can do that, then you got me. Which was really cool because I know if you listen to Looking Good Radio, my previous podcast, I've had a long storied history with old Mr. Pollak, at least via email. And he's told me straight up when he didn't like stuff. I mean, he was, I guess, as polite as you could be, but I wasn't like, fuck you, you stink. He's like, I'm not really into this one. And he's like, you know, not to say I would never work with you guys, but I'm not crazy about this one. That kind of shit. So he actually said he liked it, and I was like, cool, man. That's because, you know, I respect the guy as a comedian, and there's a funny guy. So I was fucking losing my shit. I'm like, oh, my God, Frenchie from Goodfellas and fucking Kevin. And then Frenchie gets back to me, and they're like, he can only do it from 2 to 6. So they're staggered, and they both only have 4 hours each. That's tough, man. It's a five-and-some-change-page script. We're in a tight room. This thing has blown up to such an ordeal. At this point it's gonna cost us about $1,000. There's a 17 person cast and crew, probably shooting on anamorphic. We're getting dolly track. I went to a prop house yesterday and spent $250 on props and shit. This prop house, oh my god, it was called Hand Props in Venice near my work. First of all, I've never had to really get props. Cop props are weird. I did just a basic Google search. I did a Craigslist ad asking if people owned any or knew where to go, and I put a post in the Facebook. There's a crew Hollywood crew availability page thing where all kind of crew people post shit, and I was like, is anybody in here got a fucking line on you know, cop props and shit? So there's only like 4 or 5 places, but two of them were like they're like privately owned. They're like at people's house and it's by appointment. They're really weird. Props people are very strange. They're weird people, I noticed. But did I say I'm driving to Urgent? I'm driving to the fucking doctor's office over there in Reseda. I don't know if I said that already, but I am. That's where I'm going. Look, why would you drive all the fucking way to Reseda? You can go to any doctor you want. I don't know. I like that place. It feels homey, and they have a pretty good track record of prescribing medication, amoxicillin, that will straighten my ass out. I don't know if I said that. If I did, sorry. I just repeated myself. Whatever. What do you want, those health freaks? Go fuck yourself. So, none of these guys get back to me. I call this woman on Sunday. I woke up in the middle of the night on Saturday night at 5 o'clock in the morning because I just can't stop thinking about this fucking thing, the shooting. I was like, oh my God, we need props. I need cop props. Because I'm just like, I was like half asleep, half awake, and I was like walking myself through the whole sketch and thinking about all of it. I'm like, okay, so what about here? I'm just trying to think of every fucking detail. I'm going to cover all my bases. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm props. I'm just going to look like office people just standing there. So I started looking into it. And like, the first place I found was by my house was like, it sounded like it was out of their house too. Like you go on, you check it out on the, what is it? It's like Jimmy's Props. I swear to God, I know it sounds like something I would make up off the top of my head, but it's called Jimmy's Props. And I look it up and like the menu of stuff they have available, it looks like it's from like, it looks like they made it on their computer and printed it out on like a dot matrix printer. And it's like a photograph of the paper. Like when you pull up the PDF, it's like a photo. It's not even like a real digital, you know what I mean? It's like a picture. And I'm just like, what the fuck? So I call it up and this lady, she sounded Russian or something. She's like, yes, we have props. I'm like, all right, well, I'm shooting this Saturday. And how does it work? I've never gotten props before. And I don't need a lot of stuff. I just need some badges, some guns, some holsters, and shit like this. She's like, well, if you shoot Saturday, you come pick up Friday and take and bring back Monday. I'm like, okay, when can I see them? Like, can I come today? Oh, no, this is on Labor Day. I'm sorry, it was on Monday. So I figured they were closed, but it's at their house. So I'm like, well, maybe I can come take a gander. Because I'm going to see what they look. I'm not just going to, you know, I'm not going to wait until Friday and hope they're fucking what I'm looking for. Which is like, sounded like her freaking idea of doing it. And then she's just being really bad. I'm like, okay, can I come look before? She's like, yeah, you can come look at Friday. I'm like, okay, but I want to see it before Friday. Can I? Are you guys there today? She's like, oh, not today, no. I'm like, all right, well, I live close by, but I work across town, and I'm not till late, so what time are you guys open till? She goes, we open till 5, 6 o'clock. So yeah, you just come Friday. I'm like, okay. It was such a fucking, whatever, fuck you, Jimmy. So, oh, no, she goes, send us, and I go, okay, well, let me get a quote then. Let me send you an email of what I need, and then you guys could, just like literally a mom and pop business. So I sent her the email. They never wrote me back. They never fucking wrote back. I'm like, are you great business you guys got. Fucking awesome. Thanks. So then this dude hits me up on Facebook and he goes, yo, my buddy's got a shit ton of props and he does low budget cop stuff and we probably got everything you need. Hit this guy up. This was on Monday as well, Monday night. Today's Wednesday. So I hit that guy. I'm going back and forth and I'm like, yeah, we're kind of like low budget. Let me know what you can do. Richard Lewis. It's like I'm the PM for this production. I got to buy all this stuff. And the guy's like, all right, well, I'll get him in touch with you. I'm like, cool, I need to know, like, you know, kind of quick, because I don't want to wait. This guy just called me an hour ago. I talked to this motherfucker on Monday. Today's Wednesday, and I'm shooting Saturday. The guy, why didn't he just call me Monday night or Tuesday afternoon? He calls me Wednesday fucking practically evening. I'm like, well, sorry, guy, I already got him. I already got the fucking props, but thanks. Thanks for your awesome response and the probably couple hundred hours you just fucking lost yourself, idiot. So I went to this place, Hand Props, and oh my God, it was like a fucking adult Toys R Us. It was so cool in this fucking place. They had everything. And like they just didn't give a shit. Like, yeah, go ahead, go look through like whatever you want. They just have aisles and aisles of like everything, office shit and like stuff for like your house, just all this shit, man. All this historical stuff, old typewriters, everything. It was fucking huge, this place. So he takes me upstairs. I got a sore throat, so you're probably gonna hear me drinking a lot this episode. Sorry, bear with me. I'm walking wounded, he ain't talking wounded, he ain't know what the fuck I'm saying. So he takes me upstairs to this, like, cop room, and this thing goes and goes and goes, and it's just racks. I'll put some pictures up on the Flickr page, Live from the 405 Podcast on Flickr. Just rows of every fucking gun, plastic and rubber replicas of every gun you can think of, from, like, pirates to, like, today. Like, SWAT team, machine guns. It was so fucking cool. And the guy's like, he just left me up there. He's like, just grab whatever you need and then put it in a cart here, and then at the end we'll write you up. He's like, badges are here and all this shit. So I got like authentic police badges. We don't need no stinking badges. And I went through all these rigs and holsters, and I found this whole fucking shoulder rig with a gun. It was so cool. I could have hung out there all day. I'm there like on work hours, like basically like supplanting my lunch break for going into this place. So I had to kind of hurry, but I'm just like, I could fucking hang out here all day. It was so gnarly. I fucking loved it. It was cool as shit. But, yeah, and then we couldn't get a... So this the cost of this just spiraled out of control. Like, it should have cost a couple hundred bucks. And now it's like between, you know, the dolly track, the props, the crafty, the crew, the cast, makeup, sound guy. We needed to hire a grip because not one of our goddamn grip friends is around. Paying the talent, it's just, holy shit, man. I don't got it. I don't got it this fucking week. I mean, I saved up a shitload last week from my not drinking, and it all went to this, but it's like, oh, this ain't enough. And then I was, whatever, I'm not going to the whole thing, but it's just, it's, wowee, is it, it's fucking stressful. So now I'm scrambling to get somebody to replace Mr. Pollock. He suggested Sam Levine from Inglourious Basterds and Freaks and Geeks. That's his go-to replacement. I knew this was going to happen. I knew he was going to cancel because he has a fucking famous... I mean, I've had tickets to see him for three things, and two of them he canceled, and both of them Sam Levine came in and covered for him. So that's like, Sam Levine has made a fucking career of covering for the never-available fucking or canceling Kevin Pollak. So I like Sam, and I think he'd be good for this part because he's supposed to be a... I'm probably going to end up going with him, but I have a couple fucking irons in the fire. I just hit up Kevin Neal. I forgot I had Kevin Nealon's like direct email. I've talked to him before. So I didn't talk to him. I can't scream because it's going to fucking... My throat hurts. Too much pain. Oh, nice legs, honey. Good Lord. Holy shit. That chick had booty shorts on. And she looked like... who's that bitch from Twilight? Christina fucking Johnson. What the fuck's her name? Anyways, sorry. Legs and ass. Distract. Distract this guy. You know me. Great ass! Sam would be perfect. But, so yeah, I tried Kevin Nealon. I'm going to try Frank Stallone. And then I went through a whole thing today. Guess who? Guess who came crawling back? Guess who's hitting me up again? So I guess, you know, he went and emailed my manager, Barry Katz, the famous Barry Katz. He said to him, Barry, you know, I'd love to get Jay Moore. I had Kevin Pollak and he dropped out. I know Jay lives close by. I know he's not crazy about shit like this, but we need a last minute guy. And maybe Jay would want to do it for about $200. Now, I know you just said, Luke, I thought this was already costing you a fortune. Because Pollock was going to do it for $100. But I know Jay doesn't like doing these that much, and I really, really want to fucking work with Jay. So I would go in my own, I would go in an extra $100 out of my own pocket just to give it to Jay. So Barry writes back and is like, Jay's not going to do it, man. He's like, why don't you try hitting up Kirk again? And I go, all right, yeah, maybe I'll reach out to Kirk. He's like, why don't you let me reach out? I can't really do Barry right now. I haven't heard him in a long time, so I can't do him as good as obviously Jay can do him. He's like, why don't you let me reach out to him? So he did, and Kirk's like, yeah, $200. I'll do it for $200. I'm like, shh, motherfucker. So, I don't know. I took a consensus of, like, you know, the cast and crew, because they're fam, and I'm just like, what do you guys think? And everyone's like, Kirk's kind of a cock. He was a dick last time, and nobody wants to deal with his shit. So, like, I'm leaving him as a fucking last... how funny would that be if I got him, though, after all this time? I really am a fan. I love his fucking stand-up, man. He's just such a... He's such an idiosyncratic guy, and he's... I don't know. He kind of gave us a little bit of a hard time last time, honestly. In fact, of everyone we've ever worked with ever, the only guy that was kind of a dick was Kirk, to be honest. He wasn't mean. He just kind of took some pot shots. I don't know. Just kind of a strange dude, but whatever. I'm pretty damn sure Frank Stallone would do it, but I don't know if he's a good... I don't know if he's good, but I think him and Mike Starr would be fucking fun together, so I don't know. I'm down to my last couple, and... Oh, I got one. Who else? I got one other. So it's really my last contenders are Sam Levine, Kirk Fox, Frank Stallone, or... who else is waiting in the wings? There's like one other person. Oh, shit. I'm pretty sure I have a good chance of getting... Maybe Kevin Nealon? Yeah. I'm going to reach out to a couple more guys. I'm going to try Dana Gould. He's busy editing a show. Joe Rogan's out of town. Whatever. Who the fuck wants to sit and listen to this? But anyways, so by next week, you will hear the sordid tale of the shoot and whoever I ended up getting. So that'll be a teaser for next episode. What D-list celebrity did Luke manage to wrangle? Oh, you know what? I should fucking hit up Corinne and ask her to hit up Bill. Oh, I just had a fucking Bill Burr revelation. He's in town this weekend. I have a friend of Bill's. I highly doubt it, but, you know, whatever. I can't stop farting, man. Well, I guess that's it. I'll let you guys know about the sketch. But that's the state of it right now. I'm scrambling. I'm still really psyched about it. It's going to be fucking awesome. I'm pretty fucking sure we can shoot Anamorphic. I don't know how much it's going to lend itself to this format. I don't really know if Anamorphic works for a one-room shoot that's basically like a fucking SNL sketch. The widest lens we have is a 25, so I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but the next couple days are going to be crazy, so I got to kick this fucking cold. I don't got time for this shit, man. We gotta do a pre-light Friday night. We gotta get in early as fuck on Saturday, but whatever. That's the story as it stands. I've been. No one needs to hear this either, but I've been fucking. I can't stop farting. I've had the worst gas of, like, I don't know, man. It's in years. The last time I can think about it ever being this bad was the first couple months. The famous story about when the first time I ever took Z-Pak. That I wasn't a farty guy until I took Z-Pak. One time I got a cold in 2011, and they put me on fucking Z-Pak. And then ever since then, I've been farty. And the first, I don't know, it just gave me gas. I hardly ever farted. I really never did before. And the last week has just been just like you don't even hear a sound. It just feels like that hotness coming out of your butt cheeks. And it's so heavy in the air. It takes like 40 seconds to like reach nose level. But when it does, it's like the fart fumes like made a fist and punched you in the face with it, like out of the air, like a Warner Brothers cartoon. It's fucking horrendous. It started with, I don't know if this was the cause or if this was like the opening ceremony of the week-long celebration that would be horrendous gas coming out of the Lukes there. But it started when I got Chipotle, I think it was 1 week ago. Starting that day, and then every fucking day, it was so bad on Sunday, I wanted to go do a fucking mic. I was going to go do that, hey, dude, the fourth wall by my house, which this place has turned into a fucking godsend because it's right there, and there's, like, no pressure because there's hardly anybody. It's such a great workout. It's helping me so much. It just keeps – I've gotten so comfortable in there, and the more comfortable I'm in there, the more it translates into other mics where it just feels like I'm just constantly in a rhythm of doing it. Like, I haven't gone more than 2 or 3 days without doing a mic in, like, weeks. It's been fucking great. It's been fucking great. That fucking – God bless that place, swear to God. But – I was going to go Sunday, and I had such fucking bad, I'm telling you, every 6 minutes, I had to, like, my stomach was killing me, and I couldn't stop farting, and it just smelled like a fucking dead body, and I'm like, I can't go, like, I can't go in there and, like, fart and stink that room up. It's too small. I don't know what's going on. It has been a fucking disaster. I'll come back to this story in a couple minutes, but I was at the Comedy Store Monday on Labor Day, and, just that whole back hallway there where the back, this famous back hallway where all the pictures where all the comics hang out, and you see all these, like, you hear all these stories, and you see all these pictures of, like, you know, it'll be like fucking Louis C.K. and like Dean Del Rey shooting the shit back there. And I would walk through, and I kept having to piss, so I kept going, but I was pissy and farty. And I stunk that fucking hallway up. I mean, I let one rip in there, and it was fucking brutal. Like, I could just feel it. I was like, oh my God, it just felt like pancake syrup coming out of my butt. And I came back 10 minutes later to piss, and it still stunk. I was kind of proud of myself. But it was fucking, I don't know what's happening, but I'm farty, okay? Sorry, I'm sorry about this story. Yeah, so when I last left you, I was on my way to that show, speaking of Joe in the fourth wall, because he hooked me up with the show at this bar called Residuals and Studio Sita. And I was on my way. I get to the show. It's in a bar. I guess everyone I know has been to this place but me. It's in kind of in a little strip mall there. Across from Universal Studios-ish. Diagonally across from it. And it had kind of a stage. I don't know. When I got in there, there was probably a good 20 people. Bar patrons, you know, not really a comedy venue, but... And good old Tree came with me, which it's really nice. I'm finding too, especially when I do real shows, it's so much harder to do them if your friends aren't there. So, like, everyone that comes out, thanks. And thanks, Tree, because he's been coming to a bunch, and like, it fucking really helps. But, so there was a really disproportionate amount of not only women, but good-looking women in there. I was like, wow, holy shit. And, I think I got a little cocky because I've been doing a little bit better at the mics, and I've been playing a little bit more fast and loose and not being nailed down to my jokes and just doing a lot of riffing and fucking around and just going up with kind of half thoughts of things that weren't really fleshed out and just trying them out, what people call writing on stage, which I'm kind of starting to do for the first time. It's a hit or miss, but it's an experiment. work sometimes, you know. So, like, I'm like, yeah, sure, you know, yeah, sure, why not? Michael Corleone said this, Michael Corleone said that. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? Like, the FBI guys, they offered me a show, all right? Oh, so I threw this shit together. It's like a 8-minute set. And it was mostly old stuff. Because just a few days later, I wrote a bunch of shit. I wrote like 3 new bits that are doing really fucking well. But this is just before that happened. It's the best stuff I've written. It's the best results of anything I've written, I don't know, like this year, easily. I was like, thank fucking God. I did like 2 mics and both in a row. Every fucking beat in both bits. It's about 3 minutes of shit. All fucking got laughs. So I was like, thank fucking God. Oh, it's like takes so much pressure. Because like you're good for like a good week or two already now. Just on that. It's great. It frees up a whole fucking... It's like having a weight lifted off you. It's like, thank God, I got a little wiggle room now. I got some shit that works. Then in the meantime, you bought yourself more time to write more stuff, you know? It's great. So, but this is before that. So I'm just digging through all my old stuff. Because that's what you want to hear anyway. So... I get it together, and I realize sitting at the bar that, and I blame, this is just sheer laziness. I mean, I had all day to really put something together, and I was like, I dug through the last couple nights I'd been doing it. I was like, okay, this, I just checked off a couple bits. And by the time I got there, I realized that they were all really perverted and, like, anti-women. This is shit I've written over the course of 2 years. It's not like I don't sit and write, consciously write, like, you know, jizzing everywhere, and like, fuck women bits or something. But, I realized, I was like, oh my God, I can't do this fucking set. This is fucked. Now I got to scramble and try to re-find all bits that aren't, you know, not misogynistic, but just like, I'm like, I don't want it. There's a lot of hot chicks. I don't want them hating me, and then B, don't want to ruin my chance, even though there's slim chances of anything, of getting laid or something, you know what I mean? Because what the fuck else am I doing this for, right, guys? Yeah. Trust me, I'm not. I've never gotten laid for anything creative I've ever done, ever. And probably never will. Oh, so I'm scrambling to get a fucking new set together. I'm like, oh my God, I just fucked myself so hard. This is so dumb, you motherfucker. Now I walked in, I was so fucking calm. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking rip this shit up. And it was a loud bar, and I'm like, I'm gonna give these motherfuckers hell. Because I'm telling you, I'm starting to enjoy this thing of like, fuck the audience now. It's just weird, kind of like, you want me to get up here? Fine. This is what you're gonna get, bitches. But then I started panicking. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. So like, I ended up throwing some kind of bullshit together, and I winged some shit, but I did okay. I did decent. There's a lot of people, and it was loud. And I wish I could do it, because my throat's fucked up. But I just get up and I go, ah, ah. And I just screamed. I'm like, Universal Center. And I was like just yelling and shit. I just want fucking. I don't know. I'm starting to get like stage energy and shit. I just don't give a shit anymore. It's great. I'm just like, fuck it. Just do whatever. Who gives a fuck? Because I think I got comfortable with bombing again. And that's a fucking great place to be. Because if you don't give a shit that you're going to bomb, then you're free. Like Macaulay Culkin says in The Good Son, remember? It's like once you realize they can't do anything, you're free. You can do anything you want. So I'm really like that. And I've always wanted to be like that. I'm glad I'm starting to be able to dip my toe in those waters. So yeah, it's getting fun again. I'm starting to fucking enjoy doing this shit. But I love being able to do real shows. It's fucking awesome. But yeah, I did okay. And I was... It was funny because I had such a fucking energy. I was just all wound up and shit. And that's the thing, too. Like the caffeine mix, I could never drink coffee before because it would get me too nervous. But now it's like I'm not as nervous. So I have natural energy that you just get before going up and coffee. So I'm so wound up, I don't know what to do with myself. But it all just like pours out on stage. It's fucking cool. So, but like halfway through my set, half the place left. Like there's just 2 big groups of people that went there to like eat and shit and they were done. Because it's all like bar top tables. It's not really like John Wilkes booths. It's just like tall, you know, high tables, and they all left, and it got way quieter, and I was like, oh, everybody's gone now, but, yeah, I did all right, and, don't get cocky, Jesus Christ, you're not that good, motherfucker. After that, the punk rock chick wanted to come over. I haven't seen her in a few weeks, and, God, she made me fuck her with a condom. Oh, it was terrible. I tried everything, and you know what, I didn't even ask. You can even ask Tree Man listeners that are scattered about the globe, which, hey, listen, don't give me shit. I actually got a couple that are international. Technically, this is an international show, right? Hi, everybody out there on the fucking planet Earth, England, Australia. I don't know if Elliot Wilcox listens, but if you do, hey, man, what's up, you kangaroo-touching prick? I'm telling Tree, I'm like, I don't want her to fucking, I don't know what's been going on. My fucking, I know it says stay hungry, stay horny on the shirt, but I just haven't been like, I haven't been fucking jerking off lately. It's just been like, I don't know. I'm just like super like locked in all kinds of like creative shit. I've just been funneling all my energy into like doing stuff. And I haven't been so worried about getting laid and whatnot. But I didn't even really feel like fucking. And I was just like, oh. And she's like, well, I'll just come over and meet you. And it's like 11 o'clock, all this shit. I didn't really want her to come, but she did. And then she made me fucking wear a condom. And it was so miserable. I'm just like, she's, and I just had this look of disdain on my face. She's like, how is it? I'm like, how do you think it is? I'm like, I can't feel anything. Can you? It probably feels great for you. I don't feel nothing. It sucked. So, and then you know what else happened? There's another thing I'm getting old. Well, yesterday I woke up and out of fucking nowhere. Oh, great. Here comes the, what's this, an ambulance? I woke up and, I had some fucking scruffage, and now I got like 11 gray hairs on my chin. I literally had two for the last like year and some change. Like two, I would see them. And now I got a whole shitload. I'm like, oh my God, I'm fucking, my like shit's turning gray. My face, I can't really grow a beard though, so I guess it's not a big deal. But if I did, I guess I'd look like Mel Gibson does now, right? But, and now another thing, I'm getting old. I fucking, now like my jaw hurts when I'm eating pussy, man. Oh, I can barely fucking do like a, there's like these, and like these muscles like in the side of my face hurt really bad. I got about a 5 minute window now and I'm in like extreme pain. I'm like, oh, my jaw fucking, my face hurts. Like the muscle in my face is like, we've had 20 years of doing this. We can't do this anymore, sir. Like we're just tired. All of this is what the muscles in my face tell me. I'm like, son of a bitch. I used to be the pussy eating. I mean, I still am. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the last couple times, even with the slob, I don't have the fucking staying power. God damn it. That's my fucking, as I've said many times, that's my stole cold stunner. So I better not lose my pussy eating power. I need a drink. Give me a second.
Oh, that's right. A fucking sore throat bastard. You fucking need to drink some fucking water, don't you? Good, I hope you got fucking throat cancer, you fucking cunt.
Jesus, that's fucking mean. How would you say that? So that sucked. Face hurt and you had to wear a condom. That's kind of a non-story. I apologize. Friday night, I went and saw Hateful Eight. I don't know what I was thinking on this one. Hateful Eight at midnight at the New Beverly. The 70 mil road showed 3 hour fucking version. Started at about 12:15 and let out at like almost 3:30. Intermission. Everything else. I haven't seen Hateful Eight since it came out on Christmas Day. That was the last time I saw it. And I wanted to see it again because I wasn't sure about it. And I liked it, but I was really curious what I'd think a second time seeing it. So I liked it more the second time, as it goes with more. I liked it more second time. The movie went on. Most Tarantino movies, the later ones have taken me a few times to really get into them, you know? Like, starting with Inglourious Basterds, actually. The first time I saw Inglourious Basterds, I'm like, I don't think I like that at all. I'm like, I don't fucking get it. Now I love it. It took me a couple times. Which, that's what I like about his movies, because then, like, you know, it takes it, it's like a nice fucking wine aging, you know? So, the biggest problem is, I'm sure I probably said this the first time around, but I don't know, it seems like it holds up even more. The pomp and circumstance of this fucking movie, much like I was saying earlier with shooting Anamorphic in a fucking scene that takes place in one room. You know, there's not these big vistas that you're taking advantage of with the anamorphic lens. It'll give you a nice wide shot. It's like, you don't need it in a room, but just like Tarantino, he had a 70 mil camera. He loved movies that were shot that way, and he wanted to make a big Sergio Leone epic fucking Western thing. So he did, even if the story didn't lend itself to it at all. I mean, there's a music overture that goes on for 7 fucking minutes at the beginning. And just these scenes that just go with all this extra shit and footage that just drags on and on. It's like, then by the problem is, like, and I, you know, I got, if it's, I could take a nice long movie if it's like paced well, but it's just some of this shit is just go, like these fucking speech after speech just over and over again, that by the end, it sucks all the energy out of the end because you're just fucking exhausted now. You're like, oh my God, another one? Like someone else is going to go on this fucking thing, and then by the time it's about to be over, I guess it was exacerbated more by the fact that it was now 3 o'clock in the morning, but holy shit was it wearing on me. I'm like, God. And then he has a fucking intermission and all this shit. I'm like, it's not that fucking epic of a story. It's not this broad reaching crazy thing where we need all this extra fucking, you know, punch for it to be delivered. It's like it's just a bunch of people in a fucking room, in a carriage, and then in a fucking room. Like, why is this going on and on like this for so goddamn long? And, yeah, I don't know. I did like it more. And I never realized how great the Mexican was. Remember that Mexican guy? I don't know. The first time around, I liked him, but that guy fucking rules, and he's so funny. And he got the biggest laugh of the entire movie. I don't remember this the first time, but the part where, well, spoiler alert, if you didn't see Hateful Eight, I mean, it's not, I guess it is kind of plot. All right, hit the jump ahead a couple times if you don't want spoiler alert. The scene right before when Sam Jackson is interrogating all those guys, and then he ends up finding out. He starts with Bob realizing that they're lying, and then he shoots him, and then fucking blows his head off with those two guns. He's got Mexican Bob against the wall, and he's like, you know, they're like going back and forth, like, I think you're lying, and he's like, I think you're lying, and they're going. He's it's like, so they go through this whole thing, and he goes, so are you going to have any? He goes, are we supposed to sit there and believe your accusations and stories? Okay, you put your camera on. And he yells, and it's like. He yells it in this, like, such, like, soap opera fucking character delivery. And the fucking place, I swear to God, for, like, a minute and a half. I don't know. I was laughing my ass off. I didn't realize how fucking funny it was. Can you put your camera on? And he's got his head all back with one eye closed, like one of the dudes in Cypress Hill. That guy is fucking... Mexican Bob rules. I love that dude. But, that... You know what else is hilarious? That fucking part. Where they're all fucking yelling. It's the second time around where everyone's yelling for the. They're like, shut the door! Put two pieces of wood in it! And it's cutting all the different characters yelling now. Now it's Kurt Russell and fucking Daisy Dahmer. She's yelling too. And it cuts to this really quick shot. Because, like, of all those guys, the Michael Madsen character is the most amazing. Shut the goddamn door! You just hear his voice screaming in the background. And it's cutting around all the people yelling at him. And it cuts to Michael Madsen. Look at him, he goes, God damn it! Just cuts away. He's like so fed up. I fucking love that. Fucking thing's busted. It's cold enough in here. I love him. Joe Gage, cowpoke. But yeah, that Michael guy, they just gave him way too many fucking, too much dialogue, and it's too many monologues and fucking, you know what else I liked, what's his name, the old man, Bruce Dern. I liked his character. I don't know, I liked him a lot more this time. And I noticed a lot more subtleties in his, performers that were really fucking cool. I love that dude. But yeah, that was a long one. Jesus Christ, man. Fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. That fucked me up the whole night. I felt like I had a fucking hangover the next day. I was like, the next morning, Sports Authority fucking closed. If you're not from here, I don't know if they have them on the East Coast. Sports Authority was this big fucking chain of sporting places that sold... I went there for sneakers, but they sold everything. They had everything they needed. It was huge. Most of them were 2 stories. They were fucking giant. It was like a Toys R Us of fucking sports. And that's my second Toys R Us of something references episode. It's weird. And they were great because you walked in. If I needed sneakers, it was the only place I went for sneakers. And they were decent price. They were a little bit cheaper than certainly fucking Foot Locker, those fucking Chislers. But like... Joe Pesci in Casino. You're in, you're out. Hello, goodbye. That's another fat fuck walking out of a Sports Authority with a pair of shoes. It didn't take any time. All the shoes were right there. You went, you tried them on, you found the ones you wanted, you were out. They all closed now. I knew they were closing. I didn't know, like, every single one. You know how, like, there's always a couple Blockbusters that hung out for, like, a year before they officially all closed? Well, the one by me shut down, and I'm like, motherfuck. And now I have to go to the mall and get sneakers and wait for the fucking... You've heard me talk about the fabulous LA service everywhere, particularly at restaurants. Well, holy God fucking help you if you need sneakers, because everyone needs sneakers all the time. And even if the store... I mean, most of them are woefully fucking understaffed to begin with, but even if they are, do you think anyone gives a shit about getting your shoes? They're all standing there fucking off by the register. No one's coming over to fucking... You're standing around like a jackass waiting for these fucking assholes to come and help you. And, like, I'm in a fucking hurry. I'm like, I just want some fucking shoes. So, like, I went to the mall by me. I went to, like, 3 different places. I checked the Macy's. And, I was just going to get a pair of Macy's that were, like, $70. They didn't fuck... Why would they have a fucking 12? Why would anything... It's all just fucking short little fucking midgets and shit here. And Mexicans that are the tallest people. So, all the sizes are small for everything. So it's not easy to shop for a fucking big and tall fella. So I'm like, I go into Foot Locker, and like the only fucking pair they had that I liked, they were really fucking nice. And they're only ones that were that I liked were $130. And I'm like, well, they're $110. And I'm like, did they purposely make all the other lower grades of shit, like the cheap, like the $60s and $70? Are they intentionally made fucking ugly so that they want you to buy the more expensive ones? Because those are the only really cool, nice looking ones with like cool colors that go together and don't look garish and stupid. I had that thought. That's like my sneaker conspiracy. I think that might be a thing. But I was just like, motherfucker. God damn it. So I fucking left. And I'm like, these two fucking fat, I think they were Armenians. They were trying on, there's one shoe guy. And he just keeps fucking off. Now these guys got piles of shoes. No, no, I want these, bro, bro, bro. Give me these ones. Give me these ones. There's sneakers everywhere. Like, what the fuck are these guys doing? So I'm waiting for like 10 fucking minutes. No one comes over to fucking help. I'm like, oh, I'll go walk around the mall, see what else is going on. I walk around. No one else. There was a couple other places. No one had any other like sneakers that they want. It was like Vans and fucking Skechers and this kind of shit. I just wanted like athletic like kind of basketball shoes. I come back seriously like 40 minutes later. These fucking guys are still in there. They're still sitting in that fucking Foot Locker. Now there's like 9 boxes of shoes. I'm like, you fucking pieces of shit. So I find, and I'm looking around. No one else had any sneakers I want. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll buy the $110 sneakers. Sure as hell don't got it this week. The most expensive fucking pair of shoes I ever got. And I didn't feel like dealing with the bullshit and everything else. And the next day on Sunday, I had a boom mic gig on this thing that we shot. And I knew I was going to be standing all day. And I needed, and my back was already fucking killing me. And I'm like, if I don't have a nice new pair of sneakers to fucking be able to stand in, I'm going to be fucking hurting on Sunday night. You're going to be hurting like you never dreamed. Remember in Nick Nolte and Cape Fear? You just threatened me? You bet your ass it's a threat, yeah. I need a drink again. Oh, this fucking cunt got me fucking drinking. Well, that whole fucking episode is fucking false, bro. Hope you fucking cough, fucking choke on a cough drop, you cunt. Shit, what was I saying? Shoes, sneakers, expensive? Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not dealing with this shit. Fuck it, give me the 110, which came to $130 after tax. I was like, oh my God, Jesus fucking Christ. All right, well, I guess I'm taking these. So I also went upstairs, and my like third fucking pair of like Wayfarer sunglasses broke. I keep buying the cheap knockoff ones from the mall. They're $15 a pop. And the last three fucking pair I bought in a row, just for no reason, just the arm just snapped off. I'm like, God damn it. God damn it. I'm so fucking tired of buying these things. I'm like, you know what? I am going to buy a pair of fucking Ray-Ban Wayfarers. I've always wanted them. And I'm tired of buying these constantly. And by the time I buy two more fucking pairs of these shit ones, I'll be damn near what a pair of these would have cost anyways. So I went up and I got a nice fucking heavy pair like I like. Thick ass fucking plastic, so they'll last. I can drop them a little bit. I don't know. I don't even know if I want to tell you how much they were. They were obscene. I thought they were like $100 or so. That was a lot more than that. They were obscenely fucking expensive. And this is before this skit here got this thing I'm about to shoot. Budget fucking spiraled out of control. So I'm like, it won't cost me that much. And I just figure, you know what? It'll balance out for the money I'm spending not drinking, which I am saving just fucking hundreds per paycheck. This the amount of money I wasted. When you stop drinking, the amount of extra money you have around is fucking staggering. I'm just like, oh my God. Like, you know what? Then it'll be a sobriety gift to my fucking self. I'll buy these glasses. So I bought those and I bought the shoes and I'm walking. I'm just like, oh my God. So I wasn't like mad at myself because what was I going to do with the sneakers? What am I going to fucking drive around all day? And no matter what, they're going to be about $100 probably anyways, you know? And I'm all fucking, and the minute I put these on, I started walking around them, and I was just like, oh, I was like, my fucking feet were getting a blowjob. They're like the comfiest sneakers I've ever fucking had. I'm like, they better be for that price, but holy shit, are they comfortable. And they, I'll tell you, they fucking paid for themselves the next day when we shot that thing. It was fucking, oh my God, my feet were so goddamn cozy, and I had nice fucking foot support. It was great. So, I don't hate myself that bad. Saturday night, I went to, those were kind of non-stories too, sorry. Saturday night, I I went to this rooftop, this like loft party. I haven't been to one of these in forever. Like downtown LA, they'll have these like raves kind of things, and they'll rent out some old warehouse or some shit, and it'll just be fucking. I've Uber drove people to them before, and you just like, and you just see like those like flashy lights coming from inside, but it's all dark, and there's just people everywhere and hot chicks wearing just like, you know, fucking not much. And so some chick that Stryker's friends with was having like a birthday party, and I was gonna meet him down there. So I go, and it was like, I mean, you know, I'm not fucking Hugh Hefner. I don't expect to walk in and see porn stars and shit. I understand, but it was just average people. The chicks, the guys, everything. It was fair to middle and across the board. There was not tons of smoking hot. It was a lot of stoners. It just looked like people that were just like all potheads and burnouts and like, I don't know, just regular people. I don't know how else to describe it, but. I get down there, and Stryker is, it's in a shitty part of downtown. Well, most of downtown is shitty, honestly, except for about fucking four blocks. Stryker's wasted. He's stoned, and, well, he's had two beers, so he's drunk. Stryker's a fucking lightweight. That guy can't drink for shit. So he was fucking housed already. And he's just got that, like, that smile, and his eyes are all half closed, and, like, his head's cocked back, and looks at it like, hey, like, I was like, oh, shit. So, like, I don't know, it was a handful of his friends, and I'm shooting shit with them. But we had to shoot the next morning too. So I was already a little tired, but I'm like, fuck it, I'll go. I got there at like 11. And we had to shoot the next day at like, we had to be in Orange County at fucking 9 or 10 a.m. Yeah, we had to leave at 9. So everyone were introduced. That chick from the beach from a couple episodes that came when she was there. She was a little drunk too. But everyone we meet, he's like, yeah, it's my friend Luke. I quit drinking. I'm like, Jeff, would you shut the fuck up? Like, why are you telling everyone you meet this? Well, who the fuck cares? And then that's all anybody wanted to talk to me about. And then everyone's like, that's cool, man. Yeah, that's good. I'm just like, I don't need this. I don't need everyone's like fucking, Luke, you put up two. No, voice of reason. I put up 1.5 Instagram posts. I made one declarative and one just with a brief reference. I didn't make a Facebook manifesto, nothing. I'm not running around, you know, I know I mentioned it on the goddamn show and I'm done mentioning it. Besides now, but I have to because it's part of the fucking story. But, I mean, it's just a thing now. The first couple weeks, it was like, you know, I was talking about it because it was a thing. But now it's just like, this is it forever. So I'm not, what am I going to bring it up every fucking week? But, like, then it's all anyone wanted to talk about. I was so fucking pissed. I'm like, Stryker, shut the fuck up. It'd be like if you were fucking with that part in Serpico. Would you stop telling everybody that I'm a cop? When she brings Serpico. This is Serpico. He's a cop. It's Frank. He's like, stop telling everybody that. It's fucking driving me crazy. So he was wasted, but I totally Irish goodbye'd him. I hung out for, I don't know, an hour and a half, and I was just like, just shitty techno music, and like these dumb DJs just dance for it. It was just, the fucking music was terrible. I'm like, where's the fucking early 90s hip-hop and whatnot? But they were having none of that. And I don't know, there's nothing really popping off. Nothing, didn't mean any big. Oh, I met some chick that I fucked, and I have no idea who she was. I have no idea who she was. She's like, Luke? And I was like, yeah. And she's about a 6. I mean, she wasn't like gross. She was all right looking, a little chunky. But why is there so much fucking static in this thing? I'm getting so much interference in this motherfucker. What's going on here? You hear that? Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. Oh, yeah, I'm by the cell towers over here by the Sepulveda Pass, maybe. And I'm like, trying to remember. She's like, I thought that was you. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, yeah, man, I can't remember me. Like, we met on OkCupid, we went out a couple times. She's like, I slept over, I think, like, once. And I was like, oh, my God, I have fucking no clue. Maybe we didn't fuck, but the way she said it, I'm pretty sure we did. And she's like, I haven't seen you in years. She's like, you probably don't remember me. And I was like, I remember you. And I was like, I don't remember you. I haven't had one of those in forever. I was like, Jesus Christ, my dick's been all over this Vulcan town. I couldn't remember. I couldn't fucking believe that. I was like, holy shit. I don't even have my old phone, so I couldn't even. Well, I always take girls' numbers out of my phone. I'm weird. I'm crazy about that. I like to keep my phone clean. If there's a girl that's not in constant contact, your fucking number's gone, toots. No more of this dick for you. No more of this sweet loving. So, yeah, but I just kind of, I go, yeah, I'm going to go take a piss. I just left at like 12:30. Or it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. So Sunday, we were shooting this, the sizzle reel I was telling you about. A sizzle. It's so hot it sizzles, this reel. You know? For this reality show sketch. It's tentatively titled, and don't try and steal it because it's copywritten, okay? I'm talking to you, John Taffer. The bar exam Where I know it's fucking hacky, and but I don't give a shit. I want money, and it's I'd rather be with my friends shooting things than being at work, my boring work. So we went to this bar. A cop owns this place, and it's kind of a cop bar out in Orange County. And it was me, Bokes, Tree Man, Scott, and I'm doing audio. Bokes and Tree Man are A and B camera on the 5Ds, and Scott's the host. Oh, and then Pretty Emily joined us from. Emily, she's been in some of our, she was in Mangria skit. She was the hot chick in the Mangria skit. And she was she in anything else? Well, she's going to be in this one Saturday. She plays Jonesy, the tough cop, tough lady cop. But she came too to help out, which was fucking great. And goddamn, she's so pretty. Fucking, and she's a Rochester, just a tough drinking Rochester gal. She's great. She's fucking fun to hang out with. So it was, she was super nice. She came and helped out. She's like kind of like a PA. And she did the fucking, I'll put pictures of all the shit on my Flickr, FLICKR, Life in the 4-5 Podcast Flickr. She did the slate too. We get to this place 10 o'clock in the morning. We walk in. It looks like, first of all, it is such a shithole. It looks like a fucking AutoZone. It seriously looked like they converted an old AutoZone into a bar. We're like, what the fuck is this? It's called the Blue Door. It's on Sherman Way. And we walk in, and there's like 25 fucking people, rowdy, drink. I swear to you, I'm not kidding, because I've made this reference many times in LGR history, looking at my old show. The song Guitars and Cadillacs was playing, the one that I always mentioned from Terminator 2 when Arnold walks in, that fucking song was playing. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Guitars, Cadillacs, hillbilly music. When fucking Arnold walks in naked, that was fucking playing. And it could have been that bar. I swear. It was just like that. There wasn't like bikers, but it was just a lot of like, it's a lot of dudes that look like Dawson from fucking Corolla. It's just like 50-year-old dudes with beards wearing cargo shorts and like a t-shirt of like Jimmy's Siding. Like whatever t-shirt they wore that is their job they're wearing with like a little pocket in it. It's like Steve Shrubbery. Yeah, this kind of shit. Or like a lot of visors, you know, not a full hat, but a visor. Flip-flops, you know, this kind of shit, shorts, t-shirt. We all are like, oh my God. And like, they were all there for us, because like, Scotty did all the legwork and he worked it out with the fucking owner for us to come shoot. And like, he just got the fucking place filled. We were like, wow, oh boy. And like, these people, it's 10 a.m. and they were fucking well on their way. And I was like, Jesus. So like, we got to start rigging up light. We had to rig up a, just like pretty simple light string and shit. So Scott, what he does in the show is he talks to like, this is a good idea. I think this was Scotty's idea too. It's like they incorporate like Yelp reviews. So that they read the Yelp reviews for the page and like, oh, what, which is good because that'll get the audience involved. That way you can kind of be a part of the show almost kind of thing. Like next week will be a blah, blah, blah. Leave your Yelp reviews if you're a regular, this kind of shit. So he talks about that. He talks about their signature drink. It's pretty simple, but it's just, I'm telling you, they're eating this shit up. I mean, like our buddy Josh Jennings just got a show where he just goes around. Another one of these shows where a funny guy just goes around and eats. It's like the new fucking, what was a big trend in like corny shows for a long time? I don't know. It's the new whatever the old thing was. It's just like they'll give anyone a show that just goes to a restaurant and talks to people and eats stuff. Well, ours is going to a bar. And so like, you know, when we got kind of, we got at least a good chance at pitches, whatever. So he talks to the owner, talks to everybody else. And then he goes behind the bar and they show him how to make drinks and shit like that. And there's this girl working there. And like, she was a Luke chick, man. Oh, God. Big fucking beautiful natural tits. Nice fucking fat ass. Pretty thin waist. Cute face. Not hot, but cute. You know, she had like little chipmunky features, which is my favorite. She was kind of a big gal. She was probably like 5'8". Just built, big fucking broad shoulders, and she had like a fucking like a tank top shirt on of a bar. She was a barback. She worked there, you know. She's a bartender and a barback, and like she would sit down and her fucking tits just pour out of the fucking sides of the shirt. I was like, God damn it! And the way she sat on the chair, she would sit with like the hardest arch in her back she could do, so her ass would stick out, and it was like two fucking basketballs. I was like, God damn it! She was driving me fucking crazy. So I did some recon, and the owner's like, I swear to God, I was going to fucking just say something to the chick, but the owner's like, oh, yeah, she's got a boyfriend, and she has kids. Like, fuck. She looked 27, but a beat-up 27, and I even like that about her. I don't know. It's just, already rode hard and put away wet quite a bit, but I like a weathered look on a chick like that for some reason. Hang on, put my fucking sunglasses on. Hang on.
Oh, you fucking fancy sunglasses. You think it's such fucking hot shit, you fucking cunt.
You know what I realize? When you buy expensive sunglasses, you sure see the difference in the glass between the shitty ones, because, like, you put on the fucking shitty ones and, like, the whole, everything turns black. You can't see a goddamn thing. But you put these on, they're nice and, like, they're like camera lens filters. They're, like, nice and, like, measured the way they cut the light. Like, you can wear them. Like, that's why whenever I see rich, I think rich people with that wear their sunglasses indoors are a touch less douchey, because I never realized you could actually see pretty good indoors with nice sunglasses, because they don't, you know, they know how to, like, cut the light out but still make you able to see whatever the fuck. Shut the fuck up, Luke. But, so he goes behind the bar, and then, like, we got so lucky. Everyone in there, I mean, because I've worked in reality TV, and, like, I know what people want to see, and it's, like, everyone was so wound up, and all the patrons were, like, fucking in a great mood, and just, like, totally fucking extroverted, and, like, pretty funny and crazy, and just fucking giving us, like, it wasn't, like, a boring, like, humdrum bar. It was really, everyone was really fucking amped up and wild in there, especially for being that early in the morning. And it fucking, and the owner was pretty good. He was like, we interviewed him, and he was like pretty, you know, he was like conversational, and like he was pretty good on camera. And oh man, I had a bunch of, I had two wireless lavs in a boom, and I'd never done that before. And fucking, it's funny to hear some people, like the timbre of people's voices. Like, some people are great on a lav, and some people you can't hear shit. Like Brandon Noyce, my fucking roommate, like, his fucking voice carries, like, he can wear a lav, like, no problem. And, like, this bar owner and Scott were both lavved up. And, Scotty's voice you could hardly hear, and this dude just had, like, this deep, like, guttural voice, and it just fucking, it sounded, like, perfect. It was so funny. It's so perky. I love that. That's not what he said. He said, to blave. But, I was like, God, man, people's... That was another non-point, that people's voices are distinctive. I don't know, I just find people with deeper voices are so much easier for you as an audio guy. It's like, fucking, thank God. But, so he gets behind the bar, and then, like, at some point, that the bar owner left. And, like, the guy really just gave us carte blanche. He's like, do whatever you want, shoot whatever you want, you know, whatever. People were cool with us turning the music off for the interview parts. And, like, Scott starts bartending, and then this fucking place just starts going insane. There's, like, drinks going everywhere. We didn't pay for shit. The guy didn't fucking charge us for nothing. Scotty made a fucking, what was it, 60-ounce beer tower? Didn't even fucking charge us. He's like, and Scott's like, I'll pay for all this. Don't worry about it. Because Scott was EP in the whole thing. He was the executive producer. Really, honestly. He's like, I'll pay for all this stuff. And he just gave me my credit card. And in the end, his credit card, it was probably $150 worth of drinks. And they charged him, like, $20. People are just making drinks, and, like, they had all these signature cocktails, and they're showing them how to make it. And then he's giving them out, and people are drinking them, and no one paid for anything. We're like, holy shit. So in the end, it was awesome. It was fun. It went well. It was cool. I think it's going to be a good sizzle reel. And then, interestingly enough, this old chick, LM, that she's not old, but we've been friends with her for, well, but she... I knew her from reality TV barely back when I was doing it. This is going on goddamn near 10 years ago now when I did that. When was I done? No, I was done. No, that's not true. This is like 5-6 years ago. But she, this chick LM came out. She usually lives in New York. In fact, we stayed with her when we were in New York last time, me and Dude Bokes. We went to Anthony's house for 4th of July. And she's an EP of a lot of fucking big, she's done Bad Girls Club and all this shit. And like, she fucking makes, she's like really good at her job. She makes a fucking ton of money, and she's like a name in like reality. She's up there. She's covered in 10 fucking toes, and she's like a punk rock chick. So like, I don't know, is she a lesbian? I don't know, but she's one of these chicks that there's no reason I should be friends with her, and she should absolutely hate me because she's like a cunt. She's like just like a bitchy chick that's like kind of miserable, and doesn't tell, hates like douchebags, but for some reason she like, me and her get along. I don't know what it is. Very weird. It's one of those very unlikely friendships that I've had. But she's really tight with Dude Bugs. So she came out because she's in town working on something. Like I said, she lives in New York. And she just stopped by just to say hi. And then she got, the next thing you know, she's like working. She's like running around. She's like running, like telling Scott what to say. She's all like getting involved and shit. Like she was at work. Like she just got into it. Like she dug it. She liked it. And so we get now, we have like some pitch potential shit lined up through Tree Man and a friend. But she works for, I think she still works for 495, right? The geniuses that gave us Jersey Shore, Tool Academy, that I used to work for that company. And later on that day, she tells Bo, she's like, all right, get a cut together, and then let me see what you guys got, and I'll see if my agent can pitch it. And we were like, holy fuck. Holy shit. Something actually has potential to make us money instead of lose us money. Holy shit. So, yeah, just a dumb fucking easy idea that was about as simple as it gets. It was right in front of you the whole time. Might actually turn into something. That'd be fucking gnarly. I don't know what that entails. I don't even know what my position would be. Like I said, it'd be an AP. I don't know. I don't know how it works out. But is that quit your job money? Like quit your job, make enough to make the show, and then have enough to go on for a while after that money? I don't know. I'm sure I don't know, as they say in Hateful Eight many times. I need another drink. Sorry.
Your fucking audience hates your fucking guts for out of water. You fucking drink, you boring cunt. Oh, holy shit.
So maybe that'll turn into, I don't, you know what, I'll tell you what. 2016 started out pretty fucking lame. Nothing going on, like, as far as creative shit and, you know, 2015, like, just started with a bang. It just felt like we were just hit the ground running all year. And this year, it's just been slow and nothing going on. But, like, the wheels are slowly starting to turn. And now it seems like second half of the year is going to be fucking great. Like, a lot of shit just picking up. And seems like the fucking things are falling into place a little bit. So, now I'm kind of psyched about it. I was like, fuck 2016. Everything sucks. Nothing's going to work. And we're trying really hard. Nothing's happening. So, fuck it. And it's like one of those. But it's starting to be like, maybe shit's starting to turn. Starting to turn this thing around. Oh, we're going to turn this thing around. It's starting to turn around a little bit. Good stuff's happening. And stand up and shoots and shows and blah, blah, blah. All this crap. It's been in some, whatever. I'm not going to bore it more. I don't know if it's just something happened. Like, it's just some, I don't know if it's coincidental. Around the same time I quit drinking, and this shit really started kicking in high gear, or if it's just a coincidence. But one way or the other, I don't know. It's been a lot better. Whatever, shut the fuck up with your self-affirmations, fag. Sorry, guys. All right, here's some random asides. Jeff Garland sucks. He's another guy. I went off on Leslie Jones. Well, Jeff Garland, I don't get this fucking guy. His stand-up sucks. And I think he was on Fitzsimmons podcast. I've seen him at the store. I don't get this guy. I don't know why he's famous. I don't know what the fucking appeal is. I don't know how he's got a fucking career. I guess he was good on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I never really watched it. But if he was, that's the only fucking thing this guy has ever done. I'm just baffled that he fucking has a career. He's fucking just boring and just, he's just not funny, but people laugh at him. Like, what are you, he didn't fucking say anything funny. What are you laughing at? There's no punchline, no nothing. He just sounds like a grouchy old kind of Jew. Are we supposed to laugh at that? I don't know. He stinks. Arnold, speaking of Terminator 2 and guitars, Cadillacs, have you seen this thing that Schwarzenegger's kid made this shot-by-shot recreation of the scene in fucking the Bad to the Bone scene in Terminator 2 where he goes to the fucking, where he goes to the biker bar? You know, and it's not when he's inside, it's when he's outside. When he gets on the motorcycle and about to leave, and the bar owner has that shotgun, he's like, can't let you take the man's wheel, son, that fat guy. So fucking, he recreates this thing shot by shot. And like, this guy just, it's so bad, it's just wrong. The guy has zero charisma, no acting, I mean, he's got no dialogue, but just, he can't act, not even not talking. And the dude they got to play the bartender guy, or the bar owner that comes out, is so fucking, he kind of looks like him, but like, he's so bad. He's like, I can't let you take that man's motorcycle, son. You better leave it. And just, he comes up and takes the glass. Oh, holy shit. You got to watch it. It's so fucking douchey. I'm like, and it was just weird. I'm like, why would you do that? Like, he kind of looks like Arnold. He's not big like him. He's kind of like, looks like he's, he's not a little guy, but he's not like Jay. He's not a fucking jacked like his dad. And like, his face kind of looks like him, but it's just, it was so unnecessary and strange and like uncomfortable. I was like, this is fucking awful. Go check it out. Go check it out. Also, check out the radio and the Snowcat. But it really stunk. What happened after that? What else can I bore you with? Okay, so I have a time honored tradition on Labor Day. I go hit all the Monday night mics that I can never make it to. I do. Because I'm working on the other side of town, and the sign-ups are at like 5 or 6 o'clock. So, well, last year on Labor Day, I almost drowned. That was 1-year anniversary of that. But the year before, I went to, you go to Nerd Melt there, which is like one of the biggest mics in town. It's a big giant room. You sign up at Nerd Melt at 5. If you don't get on that one, you go across the street to the Comedy Store, and you can sign up for a potluck and Kill Tony, both of them. I started listening to Kill Tony again. Luke, why don't you want that show? And it almost ruined your career. I mean, those guys beat the shit out of you. It was very traumatic. It really was. Much like slowly going back to the beach after I drowned because it was so traumatic, as was starting to listen to the show again. I'm telling you, I stopped. That happened last May, and I just started listening 2 weeks ago. I don't know how or why, but I just kind of started getting into it again. Because I've said, I mean, as bad as that, I got my ass kicked on that, and as one of the most humiliating and painful emotionally things that ever fucking happened to me in my life, or at least in my adult life, I was like, I'm not going to fucking let these motherfuckers get me. I'm going back like fucking Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi, because like I said, I written a couple new bits and they were doing good. And I fucking, I'll say I three quarters crushed at Westside. I did fucking really good. I was like, holy shit, these fucking, both of the, I knew they were going to work. I'm like, goddamn, these are both good bits. One's about Sully and one's about how I'm a sushi hack when I order sushi. And I think the Sully one is just about a minute or a minute and some change. I could have, if I rushed through it, I could get through it in like a minute. So on Kill Tony, you do 1 minute. So like, all right, I'm going to fucking, I've been listening to the show again, and now this is fucking, you know, a year and a half later. And I'm fucking, I'm at my fighter weight as far as my, I've been doing mics regularly, and I'm fucking, I've been, confidence been up, energy's been up, and I think I can fucking, think I'm ready to go back there and give this another fucking shot. So, Bruce and Corinne meet me up there, and I don't know, it just seemed like everyone was out, I mean, the fucking all weekend, 3 day weekend, it was like half the population left. It was awesome. Like, the freeways were fucking wide open. It was so much easier to get around. But like, this must be like what a normal fucking city feels like. But there wasn't that many fucking people at the store. So I signed up for both. I didn't get on potluck. They only picked 16 people. But I'm like, all right, well, I'll wait for fucking Kill Tony. So the show, now the show is, hang on. The actual podcast, it's just like there's so many fucking, the amount of fucking comics on there that do bad, that they go easy on, is just, I still to this day can't believe how bad they beat on me. When there's so many fucking worse people in there that they just go so easy on. I'm like, what the fuck? But so they moved it now into the fucking main room, into the main room, the big room where Louis did his special. But like, they close off the sides a little bit, so there's still a good 70, 50, 60 people in there to see it. Like, they charge tickets to get in. You get in free if you're a comic that's going to be on it. Which, god damn it, the fucking staff there are miserable. God damn, they're such dicks. The dork, everybody except that dude. I like Hermos. But, and there's that one little nerdy dude with the glasses. I see him around. He's got a little thin mustache. He looks like an IT fucking guy. He looks like the one guy from, I never really saw Napoleon Dynamite, but he looks like the one friend, the geeky guy with the glasses, the little thin mustache. He looks like him. That dude seems okay, but like, so many of those fucking guys there are such, and girls, are such dicks. They're so fucking rude and shit. Like, I know you gotta like handle people here a lot, but you don't have to be so fucking rude like out of the gate all the time for no reason. Jesus Christ. But that fucking place is ridiculous. But anyways, I sit in the back of the room, and I am so, I mean, the very back, and it's a long way to the stage, man. It's probably fucking 50 yards, seriously. Like, it's a big fucking deep room. We're way in the back. And it's just Tony and Redband and Dom Herrera, who, Dom Herrera is like this comedy legend. Almost people talk about him like he's like the West Coast Dave Attell. And like, I don't know if we just had him on a, this guy has like no energy. I never really see him do shit. I don't know why he's so fucking revered. He just, I'm telling you, the entire 90-minute Kill Tony episode, he had about as much dialogue as fucking Tom Hardy had in Fury World. Like, the guy just never talked, never said anything, just sit there for like, he wouldn't talk for like 15 minutes a stretch. I'm like, Dom, you're going to fucking say something? Like, aren't you, don't you want to be on this show for more exposure? Like, I know you've been around a long time, but it's still always, you want to connect with the younger crowd so more people know who you are? I mean, your career based on your popularity. So, you know, why don't you, you're supposed to be on here like doing stuff. No, guy just fucking sat there. I'm like, cool, this is great. It's like having your fucking miserable fucking uncle sitting around. But I was so fucking wound up. And I had the farts, as I mentioned earlier. And I had too much caffeine. And I was, but I'm telling you, I was fucking ready to go. I'm like, call my motherfucking name. I was going to run through the whole place screaming and run on the fucking stage. And like, I knew I wasn't worried about my minute at all. I knew my minute was going to do, it already fucking did good like 2 out of 3 fucking times. So I knew I had a good minute. It's the interview part after where they grill you. That, and then listening to the show again and reacquaint myself. That's the tough part. Because like, their job is to fucking humiliate. Their job is to fuck with you because that's the allure of the show. So they're not going to go easy on it. They're even if you do good, they're still going to try and fuck with you and tease you. It's all for Tony's sick sadistic pleasure because he's a little twink and I think he got beat up and bullied in school his whole life and this is his fucking revenge on society. So he put it into this fucking show. But, well, you know, good for him, whatever. I signed up for it, my fault. But I was so ready to go and I'm telling you, when they go into that fucking bucket, and I heard him, oh my God, before the show started, they were setting up, we got in there a little early. And he's in the little tiny back bathroom taking a piss, and Tony walks in with I think it was with Red Band, and he's like, I am in such a fucking bad. He goes, I have a hangover like you wouldn't believe. I have such a fucking bad mood today. I was like, oh shit. So I was even more pissed. I didn't think he was gonna be there because on Twitter he said he was in Cleveland, or he's like Death Squad show Cleveland, and someone tweeted him like, what time does that Death show? What time does the show start in Cleveland? And he tells him the time. And then someone else said, is Kill Tony still going on at the store? And he said, yes, with guest hosts. But, like, I thought he was not there. And I know he's got shows, but because I was going to book him this, I was going to try and get him in this fucking sketch. Because he would have been perfect as this little jerky guy. He would have been fucking perfect. So I thought he wasn't even going to be there. I'm like, oh, this will be easy. It's just Demerara. And it was, I thought I saw, they said that, somebody out front said that it was Demerara and Russell Peters. That guy that's really famous that no one knows. He's like the Nickelback of comedy. No one knows how fucking, why he's so, he's like a giant superstar around the world, but he's not that famous in America. That's not what Nickelback is. That was a bad reference. But I'm like, oh yeah, Tony won't even be there. This will be like when the substitute teacher's in. Like, we can just fuck cut loose. No, he was there. I was like, oh shit. But dude, I didn't care. I was fucking so ready to go. I was ready to go. And you know what? Something else. I even had a better in because the second question is always, so what do you do? Where do you work? And I could say, well, you know what? TH. I work at a, not only do I work at a place that rents cameras and lenses, those camera and lenses shot your friend's show, Ari Shafir. This is not happening. That's right. It was on cameras, Tony. Goodbye, Zelda. So, like, you know, I'm thinking ahead. Long story short, they never called me. I waited the entire fucking time. Man, when he goes into that bucket, and you could see the entire room to every fucking comic is just like, everyone like sits forward in their seat like they're ready to sprint. The first fucking name he called, I don't know how long it'll take to get this episode up. The first name he called, the guy ran out of the fucking room. He laughed. I never saw him laugh that hard. He goes, that fucking guy ran out. He goes, did you see that? He goes, I call his name and I just see a white flash and a guy booked out of the room. And he's like, somebody go get him. So he sent people to try to bring him back. But they couldn't find it. The guy fucking ran. He fucking took off. He was the first person up. So, all right. Anyone listening, if you do stand up and you're a woman, jump ahead. Just move the thing forward because this is going to enrage you. But so it's a live podcast, so anything can happen. And a lot of times they just have a lot of not funny people on here anyways that just suck. And these guys that are his band fucking suck. I don't know who they are. They're not really funny. They don't really add much to the fucking, half the jokes they do fucking bomb. I'm like, well, who are you guys to be criticizing anybody? You guys fucking stink too. You're awful. But, they pulled, I think, 4 women and 2 guys. They were absolutely 0-for-4 on the women. And this ain't just, oh, Luke, you know, you already got a fucking hard on for women comics anyways. You're always complaining about them, so you're biased. No. Wait till you hear this. It is irrefutably, every girl on here was fucking abysmally bad. I mean, just abysmal. The 2 guys were both fucking hilarious. And both guys, they had to keep on stage for like 25 fucking minutes because the show was going so bad. They knew if they had one person that could hang out up there and be funny, it was the only way this episode wasn't going to be a complete fucking disaster. So the guys had to just stay up there. So they have this fucking girl on. I mean, it was just... The one chick, I swear to you, I looked over at Bruce and I mouthed the words as she was saying it. So you guys, I was talking to my mom the other day and she said it almost with me. And Bruce was like, oh my God. I'm like, I told you, every motherfucking one of them, their moms, weddings and or having kids, and like creepy guys they've dated or things they've seen on TV, like especially the Kardashians. That's all these motherfuckers talk about. They stink. They have this girl come on every... I don't know how long she's been doing it. It had to be a year. And they only do it with girls. They've been doing this since the whole history of the show. Every week they have one chick that they're friends with or whatever, or one person they pick that they anoint that says, every week you're going to come up and they kind of close the show out with a girl. And they say, you're going to do 1 minute. They only have to write one fucking minute a week. And they always do fucking horribly. I mean, I've been listening to the show on and off for 2 years, and it's they're almost always bad. They stink. They never get better. And I'm sorry. Men are more fucking inclined to be better comics than women. They just fucking are. Wake the fuck up. Stop arguing with me. All right? It's just a thing. If you're good, good. I'm not saying every woman is bad. Jesus Christ. But fucking in general, whatever. I'm not going to go into it again. Everybody fucking hates me. So, hold on, what am I into? Oh, cool, I'm an hour 10, all right, I did good. Yeah, I didn't get up, but, dude, it was such a letdown. It was like somebody challenged me to a fight and back down. That's like how much fucking adrenaline I had. I was so ready to go. I was fucking ready to go. I was going to fucking kill those motherfuckers. They never called me. I walked out and was like, God, I was so fucking, God damn it, I was so bummed. It was such a fucking cock tease. And then somehow that night, in 6 hours from when I went to bed and woke up on a Tuesday, I was sick off my fucking ass. And then I'm sick now. What else do I have on here? Sunday shoot, also purple hair. You notice something else, too? When I did that what, I'm telling you, I'm getting better at fucking, I'm starting to hit a stride, because I was doing so bad for so many weeks at stand-up. I started moving the mic stand for the first time, I think, ever. Because I'd be like, oh, I got to hold on to that. I grabbed the mic stand and put it behind me like a real comic. I was like, I just did that. I did that at the mic stand. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I was all fucking proud of myself. Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting there. You got to keep doing it. You got to bomb a lot. You got to eat it, which really stinks. But eventually, it gets you somewhere. You know, you start marching through the fucking mud. Sooner or later, the mud's got to dry up. You got to be back on fucking dry land. Ah! You know what I'm talking about? I think that's everything. Yeah. All right, I did all right for being fucking pretty sick. I couldn't even, like, think. I was just, like, all woozy. I think I had, like, a little bit of a fever, and I was all fucking sweaty. And I felt like I was, like, just felt like literally my head wasn't on straight at work, and I'm just, like, I was all, like, I wasn't, like, sluggish, like a wet sponge. I was, like, kind of wound up, but I just was, like, I was just woozy and shit. Like, if I stood up too fast, I'm like, oh, uh-oh. So I'm like, I think I might have a fucking slight feebs. But here's things I hope between now and the next time I talk to y'all. That the shoot goes well, that I'm not super sick, and that I get better fucking fast with some goddamn medicine right now, and then I cast somebody else really good. At least Kevin Pollak of equal or greater value, because I don't want to go backwards. And it's just like, I love fucking Sam Levine. I think he's funny, and he'd be great for the part, but it's just, I don't want anyone to go, who? Because Kevin Pollak, everyone's like, oh, shit, you got him. It's just fucking awesome. Like, they just know who he is, and like, I want a that guy. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying, but whatever. It should be fairly interesting between now and then. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll talk to you again in a week. I hope you guys stay out of fucking trouble. I hope you don't eat too badly. Don't eat too much shit and bad food. Like I've been eating like a fucking animal, but what are you going to do? You know, food's good. Pork chops taste good. What'd you say? Ribs taste good. Pulp Fiction? I don't know.
Make a wish on our sorry little hearts. Have a smoke, pour a drink, steal a kiss in the dark. Fingernails on the skin like the teeth of a shark. I'm intoxicated by the light. In the chill of this air, I am painfully lost, like a deer in the lights of an oncoming bus. For the thrill of your touch, I will shamefully lust, as you tell me we're nothing but trouble. We're gonna gather.
like the dry clean slate. Quick sound the alarm, no escape from the truth and the weight of it all. I am caught in the web of a lie, and the bitch of it all is that I'm running from the desire of the people to whom I belong. At the end of the day, you can tell me I'm wrong, cause you went to all of this trouble. Feels like war.